Welcome back, folks, to another episode of Business from the Bass Boat Podcast. And guys, today we've got an awesome show lined up. Show, again, as always, is presented by X2 Power and our lovely other sponsors. They do a bunch for us, guys, so something I definitely don't mention enough. If you are ever in the market for any of the products that you see kind of through our stuff, certainly reach out to them. But without further ado, we've got a great show lined up. This is a friend of mine and a friend of the show that has been on in the past to kind of talk about his start in the industry with Dynamic, which is a brand there in Oklahoma that does a lot of the contingency programs, a lot of the marketing in our industry. But he's on a new venture in 2023 here, and can't wait to hear about it. Let's get Jake Byram in. How's it going, man?
What's up, Adam? Thanks for having me back on.
Absolutely, dude. Man, you are in the thick of it, like decided to get things going right in the middle of well, I guess you started this earlier this year, but you were fishing a ton. I mean, and then you've been telling me, hey, I'm taking a step back, I've got this thing going on. I mean, talk about what exactly you're doing, man.
Yeah, so we opened up kind of a premium fishing and archery hunting shop here in Tulsa. So we actually opened February 15th. So we're almost 4 months to the day. Yesterday, I guess, was 4 months. So we're mostly bass fishing. I would say probably 65 to 70% of our floors, probably 70% of our floor space is bass fishing. The other 30% of our stores are archery hunting. So kind of the route that we wanted to take was kind of specializing in more JDM products, higher end products. We don't sell just JDM, but kind of the harder to find stuff that guys, at least in our area, have had to go online to order for the past several years. So there really hasn't been, and we had Okiebug. Some people are familiar with it. It was kind of a really popular kind of Midwest Oklahoma thing. And they went out of business probably 20 years ago, I would say. Wow. So maybe even 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And there really hasn't been anything in the area like that. We've got a couple big box stores. But not really that locally owned shop that kind of specializes in tournament fishing stuff, which is kind of our niche.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome. And I know last year even we were talking a little about this. You're like, yeah, I think we've got this thing that just feels like there's an opportunity here. I guess for folks not in Oklahoma, what in Tulsa there specifically, what are your nearby lakes? Like, what is your kind of pretty big presence of bass fishing in Oklahoma, but around Tulsa specifically, is there a pretty big market?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, we're not on the water. We're not directly on any lake.
Right.
But gosh, within an hour and a half or less, you can be to, I mean, Keystone and Skytook are both our closest. They're kind of northwest of Tulsa. Keystone's about 45 minutes. Skytook's about an hour, depending on where you're coming from. And then we've got Eufaula, where the Bassmaster Open is right now. It's it's about an hour and 15 minutes. And then, of course, there's Ten Killer, Grand, Hudson, Fort Gibson, the Arkansas River, all within 45 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes.
Dude, that's crazy.
Kind of depending on where you put in, right? I mean, like if you go to the north end of Grand, like Wolf Creek, where all the tournaments are out of, it's closer to an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, depending on where you're at in Tulsa. But you can be to the south end. Like I can be to the south end from our shop in an hour and 15 minutes.
Wow. So, wow.
Yeah. We're like I said, we're not on anything, but we're really pretty centrally located, to kind of everything. I mean, you can be six or seven different places in an hour.
Yeah. You're centrally located around some awesome bass fishing lakes, huge tournament scene, and just a big population base.
For sure. Yeah. I think that Tulsa, the weekday, like Monday through Friday population, like daytime population of Tulsa is like right at a million, maybe a little over a million right now. So, pretty good size. It's growing. It's grown a lot the last few years.
That's awesome. Well, Ty, my buddy Ty Faber, sitting in second right now. We're recording this on the Friday of the open, but he's sitting in second, and he sent me a picture of Tulsa Tackle and Outdoors hat, and he was just like, "Hey, I saw your buddy and all this stuff." And for him to drive an hour, man, he must have needed something. He's sitting in second, so hopefully he can get it done this week.
Yeah, I won't give up his juice, but yeah, he was hunting a few things. Sound like he had a really good day, so we're pulling for him. And it's just a small world, you know. It just shows how small the fishing community is. I'd only met him once or twice through you, so I'm glad to see he's having a good tournament.
Yeah, heck yeah, dude. No, that's what's so cool about the fishing industry is you start to get to know people all across the country too, right? Like it just, you know, you happen to be at a tournament in Oklahoma and run into somebody. It's like have a mutual connection because of that.
Yeah, a Colorado guy at that. So
right. Yeah. No, but man, I'm excited to see how he does today. Wrap things up there. I'm curious. I'll have to. I haven't bent his ear on what he's doing. I just told him good job yesterday. Hopefully he can keep it up.
Yeah, I hope so. They should be winning here pretty soon, so we'll know before too long.
No doubt. Well, dude, I wanted to kind of just go through the process with you of how this all started. You saw an opportunity, but what it looks like to like get a lease on a place, you know, this whole process of like a brick and mortar store, and in today's age of what that looks like, and then ordering products for the first time and dealing with manufacturers. Like, I just want to hear it all from a, you know, first timer's perspective, right? I mean, this is your first year doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, kind of we'll rewind a little bit. It's my dad and I that opened the shop. And like you'd kind of mentioned earlier, you and I had kind of talked about it a little bit. You know, we kind of had this idea. We've been kicking around for a little while. We're pretty plugged in here to the local tournament scene. And just, you know, from what guys had said and like really from what we wanted to see as tournament, and, you know, we were like kind of frustrated. There was nowhere to go, having to order everything online. And then with 2020, you know, shipping was really messed up. And then some of those online stores really haven't recovered from that. Some of the really popular sites that, you know, traditionally got stuff to you pretty quick, those lead times are a little bit longer still to this day.
Right.
And so we kind of kicked it around, knew that, you know, obviously there was a big interest in tournament fishing here. I mean, we've had two classics already. We've had a Red Crest. We're about to have a third classic next year, which we're really excited for. So we had been kind of kicking it around for a couple of years. We actually had our eye on some space that wasn't built yet. So we knew the guy that was going to build it, and it was actually, I'm kind of in our man cave shop here right now, and the space was going to be directly in front of it. So it was going to be a small retail center. And so we had kind of made up our minds that was where it was going to be, right? It was kind of in the general area that we liked. It was really convenient for us. And so we kind of waited around on that for probably a year. So that would have been 2021, I guess. Yeah. So kind of all 2021, we were kind of holding out for that. The square footage price on the lease was right. We liked the renderings that we had seen of the strip center. Really felt like it matched what we wanted to do in terms of just the aesthetics and the looks. And that ended up falling through. So we waited on that for like a year. You know, one day we find out, hey, it's getting pushed back. Don't really know, you know, the start date on it or the completion date at that. So we were kind of scrambling. So this would have been, so we kind of waited. This would have been like August of last year, 2022, that we found that out. And so we're like, okay, we're back to square one, right? And during that time frame, we had looked around in the Tulsa area, and Tulsa's pretty spread out. I mean, for those who aren't familiar with it, like we've got Tulsa, but we've got a bunch of smaller communities outside. So like Jinx, Broken Arrow, Bixby, and it's pretty spread out. So we had a hard time, you know, location's everything, and there was really no perfect location, right? Because if you do it on, you know, one part of town, well, then the people, you know, if you do it on the east side of Tulsa, well, then the people on the west side are like, why'd you put it over here?
Right.
So we continued to look around, and that was probably the hardest part, was just finding something that was affordable, that kind of matched what we wanted to do, that was in a good location. We knew we wanted good highway access, good turnpike access. And so we looked from August until like October. And I had a wedding in there, so that kind of threw a lot for my last job. So trying to balance all those things while we're still looking, and ultimately found a place. So we're kind of in a brand new building. We're the first tenant in there. We've got 3,000 square feet, and it's just us, and then it's just an office. It's a State Farm agent. He's actually the one that owns the building. So he's got 3,000 square feet. We've got 3,000 square feet, and we're directly in front of Home Depot. Which is good. It's a really good draw. It's a great landmark. We get a lot of people that are like, hey, I was going to Home Depot and, you know, was turning the parking lot and saw you guys. Like, I had no idea you were here. So it really just kind of fell into place. And so that was, late October. We finally got a lease signed, came to an agreement on that. And then it was time to start the build out. So like I said, we were the first tenants in there. So it was a totally raw space. So it was pretty cool. We got to kind of pick, you know, and choose exactly what we wanted to do with it.
Yeah.
And so our landlord, the guy that owns the building, he actually did the contracting on it. It was really expensive. It was a lot more expensive than both of us thought.
Yeah.
Than both Dustin and our landlord thought and that we thought it would be. So he kind of took the bull by the horns, jumped in and was kind of being the contractor on it, and he got it done in 2 months. He said, I'll have this built out and done in 2 months, and he was right on the money. So
wow.
November, December, got the build out done, and January 1st, it was ready to go. So we took basically from the time that we were able to move in, we were up and running in 6 weeks. Like I said, we opened February 15th, and the building got turned over to us January 1. So in that time frame, we had to, you know, order the shelving, started ordering product in 2022. Kind of once we had the lease signed, that was the biggest thing, right? You have to have proof that you're gonna have a brick and mortar store before anyone will set up your account. So
right.
Once we got the lease signed, we could really kind of start hitting the pavement on doing ordering. And it was overwhelming. I mean, you're starting from scratch. And just try to get your foot in the door with all these different distributors and ordering and trying to figure out the whole process was a lot. So
well, and especially if you're talking, I mean, your market is JDM, high-end tackle, like that's got it, those I feel like are not just the, you know, run-of-the-mill brands to talk to. Like you're talking about people who generally have limited product, right? Like they have a limited amount of product because it's a high-end product. It's generally highly desirable, and it's like going out to all these places.
Yeah. So, I mean, and we carry, like I said, we carry more than just JDM. We've got, you know, Zoom and Strike King and kind of all your standard
like tournament stuff.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. Like, you're big players. But yeah, I mean, it was daunting. I mean, luckily kind of with my background in the industry, I'd established enough connections.
Yeah.
If maybe that's not exactly what they did, they knew the guy that did it. Right. So,
right.
Really just kind of picked up the phone, started calling around, started sending out emails, and got a lot of help along the way from people that I've met, you know, throughout the last few years working in the industry, which was huge. And it was kind of like, once you got the ball rolling and once you got your foot in the door, people want to help you. Right. So like so many of our sales reps, they're like, hey, is there anyone like you're trying to get a hold of that you can't, or that you don't know who to reach out to? Mm-hmm. And so kind of once you got the ball rolling and got in with a couple of people, it seems like the doors just opened. And it was way easier to get a hold of people. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can only imagine just, seen you at a couple of shows before, and it's just like the network that you build doing that, and then especially too just with Dynamic and being around folks, like it's not necessarily you have to know this exact sales rep or this distributor, but someone generally in your network knows him, or at least knows someone that knows him and can get you a contact or something like that.
Exactly Yeah. And So that was the first step, right? And then whenever you get your account set up and they send you the order riders, that was the next daunting thing. It's like, man, where do I start?
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to fill 3,000 square foot up of tackle. And it's like, man, you know, it's a lot. You know, it's a lot of SKUs. It's a lot of baits. I think right now we've got over 5,000 SKUs just on the fishing side.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool, dude.
So started getting everything ordered. Man, we got really lucky. So our store manager, Braden, I've got two employees right now, Braden and Cole. Braden's kind of our store manager. And he's awesome. He's super smart on the fishing side, really into the JDM stuff. I mean, he can tell you anything about any Shimano or Daiwa reel or rod or G Loomis rod.
Yeah.
So he's been instrumental in it. So he came actually on, we kind of hired him on to help us get everything going. So he helped us stock the shelves, put the shelves together, all that. And then we just recently hired Cole, who's our archery tech.
Oh, cool.
He's got a good base of fishing knowledge, so he's kind of a hybrid guy back and forth, but his bread and butter is really on the archery side. We can kind of get into that a little bit later. That's kind of been getting that stood up over the last month or so.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that's been the cool the cool thing about being in the fishing and the hunting world, right, is you kind of have the two busy seasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is when guys, especially in archery stuff, right, are getting things dialed in, going into July, like August, like especially out west here, like, you got to be shooting probably starting now.
And then
you're going to work your way into things. But it's just the archery world to me too is such a niche space I have a hard time taking my bow. I'm a big archery guy and going to a big box store. Mm-hmm. And not to say that some guys, there's probably a great tech there and that kind of a thing, but sure. I really like the feel like of our local archery stores. I really like going in and getting one-on-one advice on bows. And generally the higher end bows too are held in smaller stores. Whereas mm-hmm. like you're starting to see like some box stores pick up big brands, but it's always been kind of that, like the bow brands don't necessarily want to be in these big box stores. They're kind of that, they like the small market helping the small guys out.
Yeah. They really like the, like kind of the pro shop model. Right. And that's right. What we really wanted to foster both on the fishing and the hunting side. So, you know, we want guys to come in and talk fishing, talk hunting, looking for little tips and tricks, you know, here and there. And it's like, you hang out in the shop long enough, like, you know, when we get guys hanging around, like, you'll pick up on some things, you know, here and there. Like, I mean, I do it every day, right?
Yeah.
Different guys coming in and spilling little tidbits here and there. So, and that's, you know, we wanted to echo that into the archery side. Like I said, that's been relatively new for us over the last month. We've really started to get a lot of our archery inventory in, bows and accessory brands. Cole started with us probably about 6 weeks ago now, and he's been instrumental. I'm a very casual bow hunter, whereas Cole's all in on it. I mean, he does some of the Western big game hunts, stuff like that. So he's been super helpful in getting product ordered and kind of knowing, like, hey, what do you guys want, right? I mean, we've got limited square footage, you know, compared to, say, a big box store.
Right.
And so it's like, we want to make sure that we're maximizing our shelf space with kind of the higher end, the harder to find products. Again, like you said, that maybe a big box store doesn't carry.
Right.
So that's kind of our model on both the archery and the fishing side.
Yeah. No, I mean, like everything else, right? Like how many fishermen also archery hunt?
My saying is, it seems like everyone that bass fishes hunts, everyone that hunts fishes, but man, I swear that everybody who fishes complement each other so well. I mean, we fish year round here in Oklahoma, but
right.
Definitely dies off, you know, come July, August, gets really hot. Fishing starts to get really tough. And we get a lot of guys that go out your way, Colorado and stuff, and do the DIY elk hunts.
Yeah.
And already starting to see some guys come in and talking about getting their stuff ready for those. So,
yeah, no, that's a big deal, man. I always notice anytime I'm driving in the mountains in September, the amount of out-of-state plates that I see with an elk in the back, or, you know, with quads or something that you just are tying, that they're probably elk hunting. They're everywhere, man. And that's just, it's a cool thing. And I think it's a cool aspect to get set up correctly before you end up obviously in that state.
For sure.
All that stuff changes. So that's fun, man. I would love to chat with Raw Air just about what kind of bows you guys carry and all that stuff. I'm getting ready. Like, in my mind, I have that, like, fishing season, that January, February, like, I'm getting really fired up. I'm getting everything ready to go. And then same kind of deal, like, the fishing starts to get hard, right? In most parts of the country, unless you're going up north, then it's just amazing everywhere. But you know, June, July, August, you're like, oh gosh. And then there's kind of a kick in the fall because the championship tournaments and that kind of a thing. But like, this is when I'm getting ready for hunting and getting all dialed in.
Yeah. I mean, like we say September's championship month in Oklahoma. So it seems like, you know, everything, all the regular season events, at least like local team trails, are kind of, you know, wrapping up right now. And then it seems like all the championships are always stacked in September. So, and then our archery season opens October 1st. So it's kind of like you finish off the championships, you know, wrap up and you trail your fishing, and then it's right into hunting season. So,
gotcha. Very cool. Now, as far as brands go, has it been, when you're approaching these folks, I'm talking on the fishing world, is it, you know, say it's a Zoom, or not to say Zoom, but some of these really large brands, is it hard to make that initial conversation and say, hey, we need to order this amount? Are they like capping you on, or are they saying, hey, you can't order unless you order this amount of our product and that kind of a thing? Like, how does that conversation work with these different brands? You don't have to name the brands, but just,
yeah. So
how's that process?
I mean, they all run pretty similarly. Like Zoom, for instance, they only sell, to my knowledge, through distribution channels. So like Pittman Creek is a huge distributor.
Right.
And it's like, they're like the best place to get Zoom, right? They carry every color. I mean, colors that people don't even realize they have. Zoom has so many colors. It's
unbelievable.
But like, you know, we'll use like Strike King, for instance. You can order direct from them, and you can order through a distributor. So like when we did these big stocking orders, we went direct. And they do have minimums. Some brands have opening order minimums. You know, some are like, say, you know, it might be $5,000 is the opening buy-in. I can't remember what Strike King was. That wasn't theirs. That was another family of brands.
Yeah.
So they might have opening order minimums, which are usually pretty high. And then obviously there's like free freight benchmarks. So you kind of always want to try and hit the free freight because it can add up. I mean, like, for instance, when we did our opening order with Strike King, it came on a pallet. I mean, it was like a, you know, they offloaded it with a pallet jack and dropped it on the, you know, on the doorstep. So
that's crazy.
They're usually pretty good to work with. I mean, like, we do our weekly ordering. We usually go through a distributor. It gets here the fastest. And you're usually not ordering in like big enough quantities of a singular brand to go direct, for it to make sense to go direct. Right. And like some brands, they won't sell to you direct unless you do have, you know, you say your order might have to be $500. So if it's Strike King, you've got to have at least $500 in Strike King. Well, you know, we order a couple times a week, and you know, our order for that week might be, you know, so let's just say $1,000, an easy number like $1,000, but that could be 10 different brands or five different brands, right? So kind of the weekly ordering goes through a distributor. Our opening orders, as much as we could, we tried to go direct. And yes, they do have minimums, but they're easily obtainable. I mean, especially when you're trying to stock a store for the first time, you know, it's not like $25,000 of, you know, in one order for one brand. They're pretty easy to hit.
Gotcha. And, you know, with how new this store is, I've always wondered when, from a brick and mortar perspective, or I would assume it's just a supply and demand situation, but it's like, you know, there's always like that bargain bin, right? Of like tackling that kind of a thing. Like, have you guys done anything like that? When does that occur? Like, when do you start like, crap, I need to move this product, or when does that situation happen?
Yeah. So, I mean, like we've got a little like bargain bin. It's like a little three-tiered rack by our checkout counter. Everything gets 25% off. And it's not, for us at least, it hasn't been so much seasonal. You know, maybe it was just like some colors or some sizes of certain baits that, you know, weren't moving as quickly. And we had people coming in saying like, hey, you know, are you going to get this? Are you going to get that? Or like even just things that like internally we've talked about, like, hey, we really want to bring in, you know, this brand or this bait. And just kind of trying to make room on the shelves for that. So it's really just been like, hey, if we've had something that's sitting there for 2 months and, you know, we've got three colors of one bait and not one of them has moved, like it's probably time to move it out. So we're constantly looking at what's moving, what guys, you know, listening to people's feedback, you know, what guys come in asking for that maybe we don't have or we only have a little bit of and they're wanting more colors or more sizes. And it's, I mean, every week we're kind of adjusting to kind of fit what our customers want and kind of what's the hot new bait, right? So trying to keep up with the trends, which is really tough to do.
I was going to ask you, so, I mean, have you seen in a tournament standpoint on a national event when someone wins on something, at this point, are you seeing like, hey, that stuff starts to move really, really fast, the shelves go out because of that? Like when you're following those big trends, like, okay, right now, for instance, like big glide baits are a thing. Right? Like glide baits, handmade, fancy glide baits, shad style glide baits, I would say, are like becoming a really big deal right now. Like, how do you stay on top of something like that? Like, what's the, are you just monitoring the industry all the time?
I mean, yeah. And like, you know, we're all, like I said, we're all pretty plugged into the tournament scene. You know, we're all ate up with it. So it's really not like you're having to study it, right? It's just, you know, you're seeing it when you scroll on Facebook or Instagram or whatever it may be. But the glide baits is a great example. So glide baits is tough because, you know, let's take a company like KGB, right? They make a phenomenal glide bait. But, like, they don't need me. They don't need Tulsa Tackle to sell their glide baits.
No. Right? I mean, they would like to, though. But
I would love to have him. If I ever, like, if he was like, hey, we'll put him in your store, I will take as many as he'll give me.
Right, right.
But he doesn't, I mean, the bottom line is he doesn't need, you know, stores to sell them.
He doesn't need stores in general to sell them.
Yeah, he doesn't need anyone. And so he puts them online and they're gone instantaneously. So the glide bait thing is really tough and that's what people want. But we do have a guy here locally, Ryan Biggs, the Biggs Glide Baits.
Right. He's
really, really blown up.
Yeah.
Here over the last few months, he makes an awesome glide. A lot of guys around here love it. And he's been nice enough to, and since we started, he kind of gives us, you know, X number of baits every couple weeks. It's not something that we stock regularly. Cause again, he puts them online and they evaporate. So, every few weeks, we'll usually get a handful, and they're gone as soon as we get them. We'll get them, we'll post them up on the internet, and they're gone, you know, usually the same day. And we don't get a ton. You know, usually it's somewhere in the ballpark of 10 or 12 baits.
Yeah.
And they sell it in a day. So, you know, having a guy locally certainly has helped. You know, Ryan's been great, and, you know, we're gracious to be able to get some because, again, he puts them online, and they're gone. And so we try and limit those sales to in-store only to kind of give our customer base a chance to get them. You could put them online and, you know, you could sell them to all four corners of the world. But we want, you know, want our customers who are coming in on a weekly basis to have first shot at them. So the glide bait one is tough, though, because it's a lot of, you know, garage makers. Another good bait, though, that really flew off the shelves was G-Crack.
Right. I was going to ask about G-Crack.
So, you know, Alton Jr. had the dominating win and heavy hitters on it. And we had been, that's a brand that we stock a good amount of, and we've stocked it since the open. And the Bella Shad and Bella Gill and the Bella's Gill were really good sellers for us, even before the win. But after the win, man, it like I swear the next day our inventory of the Shad and the Gill were gone. And it's tough because, you know, all that stuff's being brought to Japan. It goes to Dallas, Texas, to their warehouse. And then they ship it out from there. So, you know, not only were we sold out, but the distributor in Dallas was out. And Kaz, who runs it, he's like, man, like I'm waiting on another shipment from Japan. So you're just, you know, on the smaller brands like that, you're just kind of stuck in the waiting game.
And, right. So and then it's also, it's, you know, not just you either, right? Like there's all these other stores everywhere.
Yeah, we're not the only one out of the Bella Shad. You know, not only are we out, but like I said, the distribution center's out. So like he can't send it to anybody.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you have a lot of back stock, then, you know, you're in prime position to, you know, to sell it. But as soon as you sell it, like you're going to be waiting like everybody else. So,
yeah. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. Has it been just like a, that process of staying up to in stock on certain items, has that been just a fairly difficult process because, like, you know, 1 week some color gets sold out? It sounds like you're placing orders like every week. Is that just, you're consistently just always ordering stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, it's every week and usually a couple times a week. So, just because you're ordering through so many different distribution channels, right? Like, you know, in a single week, we might order some things direct. We might, I mean, every week we at least have one order through, you know, one of our big wholesalers, which kind of sells, you know, a big myriad of brands.
Got it.
And so that's every week for sure. And then there's always like some direct orders sprinkled in there, like rod orders, reel orders, stuff like that. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, it's an everyday thing. So like we might send off an order, like say we sent one off today, like this morning.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, someone on their computer already has a cart going of just other things. So it's just kind of constant because like you'll submit an order and then it never fails. A guy will come in and spend a few $100 and he'll clear out, you know, this peg, that peg, and that peg of a certain color and a certain date. And you're like, man, we just ordered that. So
yeah,
start over. You know, it's just a never ending process.
Well, it'll be cool too over the years to see like a trend, right? Like, it's okay. Like think of in Oklahoma. So I'm thinking like a biffle bug or some kind of flipping rodent style bait, you know, like, you know, that you're going to sell a crap ton of a green pumpkin bug style craw bait. Right. So it's like, can you, cause I've always wondered when we go to tournaments, right. You go somewhere, you go to the local tackle store and for instance, okay. Anything out West, right. You go to a Western tackle store and there's Margarita mutilator robo worms or all different kinds of robo worm colors. And they're always gone. I don't care what tournament it is. Yeah. Like if there's a tournament field, that's going to be over 50 boats, like you go in, they're going to be gone after the first day. And it's just like, in my head, I'm just like, why aren't these guys like just preparing months in advance of just loading, stocking up this stuff? But is it just like that much of an impact, do you feel like? Or like, I don't know. Just I've always wondered why stuff just like instantaneous.
Yeah, I mean, and it's hard for smaller shops to carry the back stock, right? I mean, just, you know, from a cost perspective.
Right, you can't tie up that capital.
And I promise it would never fail that, like, you know, summertime in Oklahoma, you throw a plum worm all the time. Like,
right.
And we stock, like right now, we've got a lot of plum worms in stock. But if I went in March and bought 500 bags of plum worms, probably nobody would buy one in June. Like, I just feel like that's just
the. Yeah, you just ball out and then be like, crap, I got to sell these things.
Yeah. And then it's like all of a sudden, oh, wait, no, not a single bass in Oklahoma bit of plum worm this year. It was all, you know, blue fleck or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny you mentioned that. So, like, the first month that we opened, it felt like the only thing that we sold, it was like kind of our big joke, was like the only thing we sold was Kitex.
Okay.
Alabama rigs and jig heads. Are we ever going to sell anything else? Like, you know, like we're already like, we just ordered like 5,000 jig heads. A guy in Arkansas pours them for us.
Oh, cool.
And so we package them kind of under our own name and we kind of sell bulk packs. So like, right, we'll sell like 5 packs or 10 packs. So you can buy a 10 pack and at least get two, you know, two rigs out
of it. Yeah.
Instead of having to buy, you know, seems like so many come in like a 3 pack and it's like, well, you know, I've got 5 wires, but now I've got to buy 2 packs and I've got this one that I'm going to like lose in the bilge area of my boat because it falls in the cup holder or something. So, you know, he's just pouring them in his garage. So like we've already like we legit ordered, I think it was like 4,000 or 5,000 A-rig heads so he can get a jump start on it because we kept running out. And it just sucked. You know, you hate when someone comes in looking for something that like, you know, you should have, but it's like, man, like,
sorry.
Yeah, like we just got cleaned out, you know,
and
we're waiting on, you know, we're waiting on the mailman or, you know, waiting to go pick them up, whatever it may be.
Sure. So, sure.
I mean, yeah, it's like, you know, those things like an A rig, it's never going to go away, especially here.
Right.
Gosh, I mean, February through April, for the most part, I mean, it's, that's what wins all our tournaments.
I was going to say, yeah, you better have it on if you're allowed to throw it.
So like now, you know, after kind of, once we get a full year of business under our belt, it'll be easier to kind of project. And like, we have an idea again, just being fishermen, but like I said, you don't ever know. So the year that you buy all those plum worms is the year that, you know, nobody throws a plum worm. So, but we'll see. Like I know, you know, we'll have more Kitech in stock come, you know, probably November, December timeframe, you know, than we certainly did last year, just to try to mitigate some of that reordering constantly.
Right.
Cause it just ties up everybody's time.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. Sitting behind reordering, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it would be cool just to see, like, as you progress, like the efficiencies, right, of getting more efficient on every.
Yeah, it'll take a year or two to get there.
Yeah,
you know, just to kind of figure out all the little odds and ends and kind of, you know, the best practices for at least our shop.
Sure, sure. Now, in the rest of the store, so we've got obviously the tackle. What kind of rods and reels are you guys carrying?
Gosh, so we sell a little bit of everything.
Okay.
Our biggest movers on the reel side is Shimano and Daiwa by far.
Right.
We try to keep a really good selection of them. Again, it's one of those things, everybody wants it. So sometimes the stock is hard. That's something that we order direct from. And it's like, man, you know, their warehouse is out of stock, you know? So it's like, we try and keep a pretty robust selection of that. From a rod standpoint, man, kind of all your big players, carry Megabass, Dobbins, Falcon, G Loomis, Shimano, the new Virtus rods by Jewel. Gosh, I'm sure there's a couple that I'm missing in there.
Yeah.
Daiwa rods. We just brought in a new full rack of the new Daiwa rods.
Oh, cool.
So I'm still waiting on that now, but should be here any day. So
nice. Now, as far as other stuff in the store, I've seen like clothing and then I'd assume hunting clothing. Like, is it kind of just a display of other just outdoor gear from that perspective, or is it pretty honed into archery and fishing?
We're pretty honed into archery and fishing. I mean, we carry Sims and AFCO on the fishing side, and then like, you know, just some other accessories, sungloves, buffs, Costa sunglasses, things like that. And then on the archery side, it'll be very similar. So it'll be, you know, very bow and bow accessory heavy, you know, arrow sights, rest quivers, the whole nine. We probably will have some like the saddle hunting stuff. I don't know if that's gotten popular out your way.
You said the sell. What did you say?
Saddle hunting.
Oh yeah, yeah, dude. Oh, I got a saddle. Big saddle guy. Yeah. So, like,
we'll carry some stuff like that. We've got some trail cameras. But for the most part, at least right now.
Any clothing on the hunting side?
Maybe. Kind of our square footage is kind of what's, you know, holding us back on the clothing. Clothing takes up a ton of space. And we've learned it's hard, right? I mean, it's hard to keep all the different sizes in, you know, all the different styles of jackets or pants, stuff like that. So probably eventually, yes. I don't know if we'll have any hunting clothing this year. But, you know, if not this year, then hopefully next for sure.
Yeah. And I would just be curious. I just wonder too, like the margin of, I mean, hunting clothing is so expensive now, especially being in the archery world, right? Like guys are like, I got to have the Sitka, got to have, you know, First Light,
whatever it is.
Yeah. Right. Like Kuyu, like it's gotta be.
And you got to have the go to match.
Right. And you totally get what you pay for with those brands. Sure. Like I'm stupid impressed with how technical some of that gear is. But like, you know, I just am thinking from an outside perspective, if I'm someone who's going on my Colorado elk hunting trip from out of state, it's like kind of hard to try things on. And you generally like, you want to have pretty nice gear and that thing. So it's like, maybe down the line, or if you get some space or something, I feel like, and I guess you'll gauge your demand too on the bow side on how many guys are coming in, that kind of a thing. And nice part is if you're having that conversation with guys in the shop, you can always kind of gauge people's interest in things.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's kind of what we do every day on the fishing side. So, you know, whether it be a new brand or a new bait or a new color, you know, or even just a certain style of shirt from Sims or AFCO. You know, you're just kind of listening and picking up on cues that, you know, guys are talking about, or even like what guys are wearing. Right.
Yeah, so that's true.
Tournament, I mean, you see, hey, everybody's wearing this, you know, say it's a new brand or a certain shirt from Sims. It's like, well, you know, if we don't have any, we should probably get some. Like, you know, there's a reason everybody's wearing it, or there's a reason everybody's throwing it, you know, on the archer's head, there's a reason everyone's shooting it, whether it's a certain arrow or a broadhead or whatever it may be.
Right, right. No, that's so cool, man. I love outdoor gear so much from all aspects, right? Hunting and fishing side. So it's cool that you get to look at it every day and gauge people's interest and be like, just caught up in it, right? Like,
yeah,
you're in all parts of it.
No, I mean, that's the fun part, right? Is getting to talk fishing and hunting every day and, you know, do something that we all love. Like I said, we're all ate up with hunting and fishing, everyone at this shop. So we're in tune with what's going on, and we get it. You know, when guys talk about, you know, even if it's like they're being critical of a bait that we carry, like
yeah,
we didn't make the bait, but you know, we want to hear feedback because we can pass that along to other guys.
Right.
And again, that's, you know, that's the reason why people like to come into the store is for that kind of feedback. Cause
yeah,
you know how it is. I mean, your circle can get pretty small. You know, whether it's on purpose or not, it's just,
I feel like it just happens in life. You just start to like,
fishermen are secretive, man. They're secretive, you know? And so it's like, you know, we don't want to spill anyone's juice, but you know, if five guys have come in and said the same thing about a certain crankbait, you know, and a guy comes up to the counter, you know, with seven of them that he's getting to buy, you know, be like, yeah, man, like, you know, you might want to change the hooks out on that. Like, you know, got a lot of guys have been saying they're losing a lot of fish on it or whatever it may be, you know?
Yeah.
So just being able to pass that, you know, those little tidbits along is cool.
Nah, that's really cool. That's like the kind of the lost art, right? I feel like in some parts of our world now is that face-to-face communication on certain things.
Absolutely.
You know, when you were starting this, right, primarily brick and mortar at this point, right, from a sales perspective, was it just, was there any big concern from a, you know, COVID standpoint where you're like, crap, this thing had just happened and come through? Obviously we were kind of past that when it all started, but was that in any of your conversations with your dad when you were getting ready to start this thing?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we are brick and mortar right now. We are going to have an online store, at some point. We're kind of working on it, but like I mentioned, we've got 5,000 SKUs and it's a daunting task. Like, honestly, it was way more work than I think all of us anticipated.
Yeah.
You know, just getting the price, the description, the photos. And then with that, you got to make sure you've got plenty of inventory. Cause if, you know, you, a guy in Colorado goes to my website and you go on there once, and I don't have anything in stock. And then you go on there a second time, and I don't have anything in stock. You're probably not going to order from me. We didn't want to, you know, we didn't want to get in over our head on that. Probably have to hire another employee to help, you know, fulfill orders and all that stuff. So, that's coming. We don't really have a hard line date on when. I feel like it'll just kind of, you know, come through organically as we continue to grow, you know, kind of knowing the timing's right and when we're ready. But the COVID thing, yeah, I mean, absolutely. So, like we mentioned early on, this is something we've been talking about for a few years, and really through COVID, we weren't ready yet. And as much as we wanted to be ready, we just weren't. And thank God that we weren't. Cause if we would have tried to open this up in 2020, it never would have worked.
Mm-hmm.
Just from a supply chain standpoint, man, like
no one saw it, right?
If you went into any big box store or went online, no one had inventory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the factories overseas are shut down. All the factories here are shut down. All the distribution centers are slowed, you know? So it was like, it would have been a nightmare.
Yeah.
And while it was really frustrating, for us, you know, you're excited, you're anxious, you're wanting to get this thing going, and it feels like it's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Hindsight's always 2020, and thank God that it didn't happen sooner. Because that even transpired into 2021, the supply chain issues. You know, people were out and about and moving around again a lot. But from a supply chain standpoint, yeah, I mean, just early 2021 was hard, you know, still to get product. And when you're trying to stock a store and first impressions, everything, when people come in, they come back a second time and you don't have anything, you know, they're not going to want to come back a third, fourth, or fifth time.
No.
Really fortunate that just, you know, the timing worked out the way that it did.
Yeah.
It took longer than we wanted, but obviously I think it was for the better, just, you know, to be able to get our feet up underneath us and do it right. And that was our whole thing, is like, if we're going to take a stab at this, it needs to be done right for it to succeed.
I like it. I think it's a good mindset. And to me too, just I just can't believe from a demand perspective that there hasn't really been a major tackle store in Tulsa, like a, you know, that niche deal, like that, just such a surrounding. And every time that any of our guys from the West are going East, I feel like we go through Tulsa, like, or, you know, or especially in that Oklahoma region, it's just a heavy traffic area for anglers, whether they're traveling tournaments or just the amount of tournament anglers in your region.
Yeah, no, and that's, I mean, we kept saying the same thing. And with my last job at Dynamic, I traveled around a ton and would go to these other places, like especially in the Northeast. There are so many tackle stores in the Northeast.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I'm like, you guys can only fish for like 4 months a year.
They're open. Yeah. What? It's wild.
Yeah. And so traveling around, like saw these other stores, saw a lot of good stores, saw a lot of bad stores. As we were talking about this, I would always make it a point to try and go into other places. When we were traveling, I'd kind of see where they were at. I'm like, man, if they're, you know, this store has been here for 20 years, like, you know, why wouldn't one in Tulsa work?
Yeah.
We were shocked too. And I think part of that, I mean, we had a couple other smaller shops, 10, 15 years ago, kind of after Okie Bug.
Yeah.
But I think that the thing that those stores struggled with probably was kind of the Bass Pro craze. Mm. Right. Which when Bass Pro was coming, like, you know, 15 years ago, it was a hot new thing. Like, you know, they're building stores, and they've got a lot of stuff, you know, yeah. It's hard to compete with that. But I feel like at least for the serious outdoorsmen, those trends are kind of going back the other way.
Dude, I 100% agree. I had this conversation with a guy last night. Last night we were fishing on a local lake here, and we were just talking about that, how we feel like those big box stores, especially the Bass Pro. I was like, that is just – it's not where I go to get things now.
Right, right. Yeah. And, like, at least guys in our – that's where they went, but that's because that was the only option. Mm-hmm. And so – I just, we kind of felt, you know, again, being fishermen, like it was our feelings too. You know, you wanted to go to, you know, you want to support the local guy.
Yeah.
And has the, especially if they've got good stuff, right? The harder to find stuff, you know, say the stuff that Bass Pro didn't carry that you're having to go online for or whatever.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's kind of starting to trend back the other way.
Yeah.
Of course, online sales is important. That's not going anywhere. But again, I think that, you know, guys want to come in and tell you about the fish they lost or the tournament they won or whatever. You know, especially in our industry, right?
Oh, dude, we just BS like crazy
or whatever. And so guys, you know, guys like that, you know, kind of the sense of community, for the tournament anglers or archery hunters, whatever it may be. So,
oh, no doubt about it. The amount of conversations you have in a tackle store are ridiculous. Dude, so with all of this, going from a role with Dynamic, where you were able to, I mean, dude, live the life from a lot of people's perspective, you're able to work in the industry, travel around, also fish a bunch of derbies with all of that happening. How has that transition been for you? You know, obviously you're taking a step back from that national level tournament scene, but how has that been for you?
For now, that's what
I was hoping to get to.
Yeah, no, it's been really good. I was traveling a ton. And I really enjoy what I did. I love the people that I worked with. But the traveling, it starts to wear on you a little bit. You know, I got married in October. I was just kind of ready to, you know, to kind of spend a little bit more time at home.
Yeah.
And more so than that, I've always kind of been drawn to just, you know, similar to you, right? To just spike business. Like I've always wanted to kind of have my own thing.
Yeah.
Always thought it'd be really cool. I know it's challenging. It's hard, but I enjoy that.
Yeah.
And to be able to do it like kind of in the fishing and hunting industry is even cooler.
So
it's been really good. It's been a tremendous amount of work over the last 6 months. You know, like anything that's new, or anything that's not new, right? It's just, it's hard to do well.
Right.
It's hard to stay on top of things and you want to do as good of a job as you can. So it's certainly eaten into my fishing time a little bit, which was to be expected. Right. And so I think that next year will be good kind of once everything's ironed out and kind of, you know, running kind of, I don't want to say on its own, but just, you know, all the firsts are over with.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, I've had to step back a little bit this year. I fished one Toyota series at Grand earlier this year.
Sure.
And then just kind of fishing some local stuff with some buddies and my dad. Even then, still not fishing as much as I'd like to, of course, right? No one ever is, but.
Right.
You know, hopefully over the next couple of years, get back to fishing a lot of Toyota series and opens. You know, I'd still love a shot to fish, you know, kind of at the top level, whenever that may be, or if it ever comes. So
yeah,
that's still kind of the long-term goal. And I really felt like doing something like this would allow me the chance to, you know, to try. And right. even if the Elite Series or BPT or whatever it is never in my cards, I don't know.
Yeah.
I still just love to travel and fish the Toyota series opens, whatever it may be, like just for fun. Like I like going to new places, like, and, you know, having your own gig and something in the industry, I feel like was my best chance to kind of afford me that freedom to be able to do that. So, you know, really excited for what, you know, year 2, 3, 5, you know, 10 is going to look like. as the shop grows and kind of get back to fishing a bunch and hopefully kind of tie the two together moving forward.
Yeah, dude. No, that's man, you and I are so aligned on that perspective of things. Like I agree. Like wherever the cards kind of take you, I love to compete at the highest level I can. I love traveling and tournament fishing in general. But for me, I'm not a person who can just go risk it all financially.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. Yep. I applaud the guys that can, but man, I just can't do it.
Right. And I would like the idea of building up a business on the side or my full-time business, but to where I can step away mm-hmm. at this point and do those kinds of things. And so that's same page there. And I'm sure down the road here, we'll be traveling somewhere together fishing.
Yeah, for sure. I hope so. And so I still do some work for Dynamic, with their contingency programs, trying to help promote those. Yeah. And again, the store kind of is a great platform to do that. Right. I mean, bucks and, there's so many guys driving tundras that fish.
It's crazy.
Help promote the owner's tournament, which, a lot of times is kind of in our Midwest region. So, make sure they know that's coming up or make sure that they're signed up or whether it be for bonus bucks, power pay, anything like that. So I'm still doing a little bit of that, just not traveling and doing all the events like I was before. So
sure. Totally. Makes a lot of sense. There's a time where it's just like, I can't do everything at once here, and I'm going to put my eggs in this basket for the most part. So good to still have those ties, but dude, with the Classic coming up this year, coming to Grand Lake in 2024, huge news. Are you guys doing anything or have any preliminary plans with that happening?
Yeah. So, we've been talking about it. I mean, since the day the news dropped, right. I mean, it's been, it feels like it's a long ways away. You're like, oh man, we've got a year. We've got 11 months. No, we blink and it's next week. Sure. And so we're definitely talking about it. I don't exactly know. We've kind of got two different options we're playing out. One of those is a booth at the Classic, which I'm kind of hoping that we end up there. I think it would be great for our business being, the hometown store, having a Classic here in Tulsa. I mean, all the expo and everything is literally 20 minutes away from our shop. So, really hope to be there. It's a huge opportunity for us. I mean, gosh, talk about just perfect timing, right? I mean, and I had no idea it was coming, right? I mean, not that even if I would have, it wouldn't have changed our plans, but just perfect timing.
Right. Yeah, dude, just huge potential bump here.
Yeah, the Classic. So we would love to be there, and we're just kind of starting to talk to some of our manufacturers, right? Like I couldn't bring the whole store to sell, so you kind of got to be selective in what brands you're going to sell on site. A lot of manufacturers are running sales and stuff during the show, and a lot of those manufacturers, like Megabass, for example, they don't sell in their booth. So like they'll have a booth there just to display product, answer questions.
They don't ever sell in their booth.
Yeah, not that I know. Maybe they have really? In the past. I know the last couple of years they haven't.
Yeah.
And like
Megabass, doesn't surprise me, but
Megabass is a cool one. So like they'll do four different of like the Respect series baits, which is kind of a monthly drop that they do of a special color, and it'll usually be in like the 110, the Pop Max. Like it'll be in four or five different baits, and they drop them once a month. And once they sell out, they're gone. And so it's kind of a collector's deal.
Yeah, they do that. I know exactly what you're talking about now. Yeah.
But like last year in Knoxville at the Classic, they brought out, they did four Respect Series jerkbaits. And they had three retailers that sold a different one. So no retailer sold two, but like each retailer got one of the specific colors, and then Megabass sold one.
I see.
And so it was kind of cool, right? You would go to like the Megabass booth, and like you could buy the one color that they sold. And then you go to the other booth and get the second one, third one.
Yeah. Makes it like a game.
If you got all four, you got like a Megabass, they call them lunch boxes. Like it's like a 110 box. At the show. So starting to talk to some of our retailers or our distributors and manufacturers about that, kind of what brands are we going to sell? Cause you've got to get some help with the product, man. I mean, there's a ton of people that go through those doors in 3 days, and it's expensive to be there. And if you're going to be there, you better have enough product to last you 3 days. And you can't do that without help from the manufacturer. So we're kind of in preliminary discussions about that. Again, kind of seeing what brands, we might or might not sell. Looking at pricing, of course, like I said, it's super expensive.
Sure.
Kind of got to weigh your options, right? Like, are we going to have enough guys to keep the store open during that week? Or are we going to shut the store down for the week and, put all our eggs at the Classic for setup, tear down, the show days, all that. So we're kind of wading through all that right now, but we really hope to be there.
That's so cool, dude. Well, regardless, I promise you, because of all that, you'll have some visits to the store and everything.
We hope so.
Like that would be,
We hope so.
I should be at the Classic this upcoming year. I think we are the Sirius Anchor crew in some capacity. So anyways, we'll certainly have to connect there, and I hope to see a booth and everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. I hope so too.
That's awesome. Well, Jake, dude, I really want to just say thanks for taking the time out and talking about your journey so far on things. How can folks get a hold of Tulsa Tackle and Outdoors if they are local? Where are you located? I mean, how do folks follow along?
Yeah, man. So we're on Facebook and Instagram, obviously. And on Facebook, we're Tulsa Tackle and Outdoors. And the and is an ampersand, not A&D. I'm sure if you typed it out, it'd still probably pop up. But
gotcha.
And then Instagram is just Tulsa Tackle Outdoors. And then we do have a website. It's just a landing page. So like, it looks like you could shop on it, but if you try to click like shop now, nothing will happen. And that just has like our store phone number. It's got an email address if you have any questions or anything. And then obviously our store address, our physical address. So, and the website is TulsaTackleOutdoors.com. You know, our phones are always on. So if someone needs something, we special order stuff for guys all the time. If there's a certain bait that you're hunting, you know, call up to the shop, and if we have it, we'll be glad to get it to you.
That's awesome. Oh, fun stuff, dude. Well, I'm glad to see you grinding, dude, all your success going on with this. I can't wait to just, to watch it foster and grow over the next couple of years and expand out. And yeah, dude, the hunting side, I think, is a really cool thing. It's something close to my heart too. So it's cool to see that being brought into it all. And, yeah, man, we'll have to just stay in touch and get you back on the show as things just keep moving forward.
Absolutely. Adam, appreciate having me back on a second time, and, you know, hope you can carve out some time to swing by sometime if you're in this neck of the woods.
Heck yeah, dude. Next time, I certainly need to swing in. Sure. Down the road, eventually, it seems like I always end up in Tulsa for some capacity. There's always a derby there.
Well, you're always welcome. So,
hopefully. All right, man. Awesome. Well, dude, have a good rest of your day. We'll have to jump on, watch the live stream, see how guys are doing in the opens, and man, have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, Adam. Thanks, man.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Talk to you soon. Yeah.